All right, that's where we stopped this morning about the true God of love. And we're going to continue with our study to learn more about what the Quran teaches. We're in part two of our study. It's our four parts, and they're not going to take that much time. Hopefully, before 7:30 or so, we'll be close here. So what does the Quran teach about God?
Muhammad taught that God is a schemer who deceives people to lead them into sin.
By the way, the word schemer and the word deceiver, the two separate words in the Arabic language, and we've got verses to cover both of them. No kidding. God is a schemer and God is a deceiver. Which God is? This is obviously the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 teaches about that God. Not the God of the Bible, not Yahweh, not Jehovah, not the loving Father. And why he does this is amazing. If you look at the verses, by the way, only my translation puts these verses accurately. The Muslim in their 29 other English translations of the Quran, they change the word deceiver to the word planner. Planner. He plans things, you know? No. The words in the Arabic language, makara. Hum makara wallahu, makara wallahu, khairil makrin. It's a very ugly picture to know this is the God.
And they deceived, and Allah deceived, and Allah is the best deceiver.
This is not, but the devil himself, Satan. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share a little bit with about you when I talk about crucifixion. Why Allah is the best deceiver, and how Allah used his deception to destroy billions of Christians, to die believing in a lie, to spend eternity in hell, according to Islam. So, what else we know about God?
Muhammad said that God cannot have a son.
Muhammad taught his Muslim believers that God cannot have a son. And he asked the question, why? I mean, what? If God is God, ladies and gentlemen, he is so powerful, he is so mighty, he can be anything he wants. He can have a son, he can have a daughter, he can be whatever. But the problem is how Muslims understand that sonship of Jesus Christ, that is a problem. As Muslims, can God do everything? Yes. Can he have a son? No. Why? Listen, here's the answer. It's in the Quran.
The inventor of the heavens and the earth, how can he have a son when he has no female companion?
See, that's how they understood the sonship of Jesus Christ. You must have a wife to get her pregnant so she can get you a son. Even though the Quran is very clear, when you talk about the word son of, there is a word in the Quran called Ibn Sabil. Ibn means son of. Sabil is the way, the son of the way. That is the perfect example I can use from the Quran to show the Muslim people that it's not because the son of means this sexual relationship, this pregnancy. I am called in the Arabic culture or in the Egyptian way of life, the son of the Nile. That does not mean that my mama married the Nile and she got pregnant from the Nile and here I am. No. Or we also, when you meet somebody generous, you say the son of generosity or the daughter of generosity. Because if you ask her for $20, she'll give you $50, she'll give you $100. She is generous. Oh, you say, you are the daughter of generosity. You are the son of generosity. That does not mean there's marriage and sexual relationship and pregnancy and babies. So how Muhammad understood the sonship of Jesus Christ. And by the way, we're talking about Allah. That's not Muhammad. Allah is speaking here. Allah does not know what is Jesus, the Son of God. That is internal evidence that Allah is not God. He does not know. As a matter of fact, I wrote a good maybe three articles so far. If you don't read the Christian news from Wisconsin, in Marshall, Wisconsin, get this to the newspaper. They can deliver it to your church for free, as many as you want. If a preacher asks him to give you 20 every month, and that article I'm writing right now is called The God of Perhaps. Allah is the God of perhaps. He does not know. Allah have no clue. Not about the past, so he does not know the things of the past. Not about the present, in the Quran he does not know. Not about the future. Allah knows nothing. Perhaps this, perhaps that. I said, you cannot be God and say perhaps. Does not work that way. So, another reason why Jesus is not the Son of God.
Had Allah desired to take a son, He could surely have chosen whoever he pleased from whom he had created.
Because he did not desire it. God is a triune God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, from the beginning and for eternity. There was no time Jesus did not exist. There was no time the Holy Spirit does not exist, as there is no time the Father did not exist. What else we learn about God from the Quran?
Muhammad taught that God wants to fill hell.
Really? With what? Here is a verse of the Quran.
And if we had willed, we had surely given to every soul its guidance. But the word which has gone forth from me was established. I will surely fill hell with jinn and people together.
And Allah, the God of Muhammad, made that statement at the day when he created Adam and Eve. So from the beginning, he desires not to have a son, that's a Quran. He desires for people to die and spend eternity in hell. He wants to fill hell with people and jinn. You know what is jinn? These are the creatures whom Allah created 2,000 years before he created Adam and Eve. Even though the Quran teaches 6 or 8 days creation. How in the world are you going to put 2,000 years in the middle of the 6-day creation? Have you seen the Aladdin movie? That is, I call the infiltration of the Islamic belief, the mythology of Islam to the children of America. You get the lamb and you touch it, and this smoke guy come up, whoa, 10,000 years! And they tell you, you ask 3 wishes. You know, the lamb, Aladdin and a lamb and all this, you know what I'm talking about now? No. You are a very conservative church. You don't watch cartoon. Good. Praise God. Just me. I watch cartoon. That genie is a jinn. It is Islamic beliefs. Only exist in Islam. Muhammad invented it. And it is in every home in America. Do you watch what your children watch? Now we cannot have a cartoon in America have the word Jesus or God. But you can see the Sultan, Jasmine Daddy, says, Mashallah, Mashallah. It's okay to say that. Slow infiltration to the mind of little children. Alibaba and the 40 thief, Islamic. Everything about, so much of the cartoon now Islamic. As a matter of fact, now they are teaching our children in our public school cartoon. And the cartoon about that little boy who came from the Muslim world, his name is Muhammad. And Muhammad is a Muslim. And they're using that cartoon in our children books to teach them about Islam. But we cannot do the same cartoon to teach them about Jesus. But Allah desired to fill hell, which means that is actually the work of the devil, Satan. As I said this morning, I repeat again, watch my DVD or watch my YouTube, the Allah is Satan, Jesus God. Allah is Satan, Jesus God. It's a powerful presentation, and I hope you will watch it and share it with others. So, but the Bible teaches that God desires not for one soul to perish. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He did not die for the goodness of the Christians while we're yet in sin, while we're yet committing sin. Christ paid for our sins. What does the Quran teach about Trinity? Here's another evidence that Allah is not God. Allah does not know the Trinity which we believe in. Even though a little bit later he is going to contradict himself and he'll tell us about, yes, there is Trinity. In the Quran. But in the same verse, he contradicts himself. No, there is no Trinity. Confusion. Listen. 5:116.
And when Allah said, O Jesus, son of Mary, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as two gods other than Allah? He said, praise be to you. It is not for me that I say what is not true for me. If I had said it, so indeed you know it. You would know what is in my soul, and I do not know what is in your soul. Surely you are the knower of the unseen.
This is the false trinity of Allah, the false trinity of Muhammad. Allah is the Father, Mary is the Mother, Jesus the Son. What Christian believe in that? We do not even have a cult in Christianity who believe in that. Maybe you can think, well, Muhammad heard it from some cultic Christian. No. The Catholic and the Orthodox and the Presbyterian and the Lutheran, nobody believe in that. God the Father, God the Mother, God the Son. You see, that fit perfectly with the previous verse. Allah does not have a son. Why? Because he did not have a female companion, a girlfriend, to get pregnant. But listen, this one here, not only Muhammad does not understand that Christians do not believe in that, he accused the Jews for believing the same thing. Here we go.
And the Jews said, Ezra is the son of Allah. And the Christians said, the Christ is the son of Allah. This is their saying with their mouths. They repeat the sayings of those who became infidels before. Allah engages in war with them, and how perverted they are.
And notice once again, not one Jewish man or woman ever believed that Ezra is the son of God. Not any cult in among the Jewish people who ever believed in Ezra. As a matter of fact, nobody in planet Earth ever believed that somebody is the son of God. The way we believe in our Christianity of Jesus, son of God. And notice here he said what? They are repeating the saying of those who came before them. Other influence who came before them. Give me a name. Oh, they say the Egyptian believe in the Trinity. Osiris and Osiris and Horus. I'm sorry, that's false. Unless you don't understand the Christian Trinity. Because Osiris and Osiris and Horus is a husband and a wife and a son. Three separate people whom we worshipped as gods. We did not believe that one person in three persons. One God in three persons. We did not say that. No Egyptian ever believed in that. Only in Christianity, the unique faith, the true faith, where we know that the God of the universe, the true God of the Bible, is a triune. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because we see the word Trinity in the Bible. No, the word Trinity never mentions the Bible. But how God described himself in the Bible, he described himself to be three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why we call it Trinity. Have God described himself to be 10 persons, and he gave us 7 other persons, we'll call it Trinity. But it's Trinity because there are only 3 persons in the Godhead of the God of the Bible, which we believe in. I am not to tell God what he and what he cannot be. And by the way, there is none like God. So if you try to find something physically, well, you know, like ice and steam and water. No. If you're going to say like, this is like that, that is like God, that means you are making something like God. There is none like God, period. Is it for us to understand God, to believe in God? No, we can't understand God. The only way you can understand God is for you to become God. The true Trinity in the Quran.
O people of the book, do not exaggerate in your religion, and do not speak against Allah, except the truth. Surely the Christ Jesus, son of Mary, is only a messenger of Allah and his word, which he cast to Mary, and a spirit from him.
Notice, Muslims believe that the word of Allah is eternal. The word of Allah is not a created thing. Muslims also believe that the spirit of Allah is eternal. Now that verse tells us that Jesus, Isa, we put Jesus here to know what he's talking. He meant by Isa, Jesus, but not obviously, Jesus never mentioned in the Quran. The name Jesus, Yeshua, in the Hebrew word Yeshua, in the Arabic word which Yeshua, in the Hebrew word which means Savior. Muhammad changed the name of Jesus to Isa, just to cancel the meaning of Jesus. So that Isa, it's only a word, the word of Allah, his word. His is Allah, Allah's word and Allah's spirit. So we have in that verse 3 different person here. The person of the spirit of Allah, the person of the word of Allah, and the Allah himself. That is our Trinity. For the word of God became flesh. The word of Allah in Islam is eternal. The spirit of Allah in Islam is eternal. Therefore, Jesus, Isa here, is eternal. That is what we Christian believe. No mother, no. It's just Allah, him, his spirit, and his word. But in the same verse, 4:171, Muhammad denies this fact by telling us, listen carefully, here's the rest of the verse.
So believe in Allah and his messengers, and do not say, 3, cease, it will be better for you. Surely Allah is only one God. Praise be to him that there would be to him a son. To him what is in the heavens and what is on the earth, and Allah is sufficient as a guardian.
By the way, when he said seeds here, that's a threat. You know, when you talk to your children, when they're, you better stop. There's a spanking coming. Muhammad, or Allah through Muhammad here, is telling the Christian, stop. Don't exaggerate. Stop. It will be better for you. What does the Quran teach about Jesus? Here we go.
Surely the example of Jesus with Allah is like the example of Adam. He created him from dust. Then he said to him, be, so he will be. The truth is from your Lord, so do not be of the doubters.
So he will be. It should say, so he was. Because it's in the past tense. Wrong grammar all over the Quran. So if you read my translation, you see bad grammar. Sometimes the sentence is missing a verb. I don't add to the Quran. I just translate it word for word. Sometimes the verse does not make any sense because I choose not to add any word to make sense out of it. Just leave it alone. I'm a translator, not a fabricator. So Allah said in the Quran, chapter 3, verses 59 and 60, that Adam is like Jesus. And Muslims always use that verse to explain to us. It's no big deal. So what virgin birth? As a matter of fact, it's easier for Jesus to come to this world than Adam. Why? Because Adam was created from nothing. He didn't have a father or a mother, but Jesus was created from a mother. But listen to the verse carefully. He said, he created him from dust. Who? Adam. Was Jesus created from dust? No? So what is the similarity here? As the first one. The second one he said, so he said to him, be. Did Allah say to Adam, be? No. Read the Quran. Allah fashioned Adam by his hand, and he breathed in his nostrils, and he became a human. Similar to the story of the Bible. Exactly. And that's how Isa came to this world? No. You go to Quran chapter 66 and verse 12, and you read about how Mary got pregnant. It is sick. Allah breathed in her private part, and she conceived with Isa. And he didn't breathe dust. He breathed air. The spirit. Nonsense. Nonsense whatsoever. Now we see Jesus in that verse to be Allah Almighty. No kidding. Allah Almighty is here. Jesus is God, 100%, according to the Muslim belief. Why? Listen.
And a messenger to the children of Israel. Indeed, I came to you with a sign from your Lord. I create for you the figure of a bird from the clay. So I breathe into it, so it will become a bird by Allah's permission. And I heal the blind and the leper, and I raise the dead by Allah's permission. And I inform you about what you eat and what you store in your houses. Surely in this is a sign for you, if you were believers.
I shared with you this morning that Allah in Islam have 99 names, 99 attributes. Here's four. Al-Shafi, I'm sorry, Al-Khaliq, the creator. Al-Shafi, the healer. Al-Muhi, the one who raised the dead to life. Allam al-Ghuyub, the one who knows the future. He knows the hidden things. So in that verse, Muhammad gave Isa, son of Mary, the Jesus of Islam, four descriptions which belong to God Almighty, Allah, the God of Islam. And Muslims do not realize, but he gave you an answer. Well, he did all that by Allah's will. Allah will not, if Allah is God and Jesus not God, Allah will not share his attributes with any human. But here we see, Jesus is Allah. Okay, how about the rejection of the crucifixion? Why Muhammad or the Muslims do not believe in crucifixion? It's very simple. Because of one ambiguous verse in the Quran. Just one verse. Listen to this.
And they're saying, surely we killed the Christ Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him, and they did not crucify him, but it was made to appear to them. And surely those who disagree about him are in doubt of him. They do not have any knowledge of him except following the conjecture. And they did not kill him for certain. Yet Allah raised him up to himself, and Allah was dear, wise.
Jesus was not killed. Somebody else was killed instead of Jesus. You see, he was in the upper room with his disciples. And Muhammad made up the story that the Jewish people went inside the room to literally arrest Jesus. Allah was a deceiver. They deceive, the verse we mentioned earlier, and Allah deceived, and Allah is the best deceiver. He was smarter than them. As he about to open the door to arrest Jesus, Allah made the 19 disciples of Jesus, Jesus's. So when they opened the room, inside the room, there were 20 Jesus's. Allah does not know even how many disciples Jesus had, for heaven's sake. He did not have 19, he only had 12. Where does the saving come from? I don't know. And Muhammad was a salesman. I mean, I think a salesman, if you work as a salesman for 15 years, you should be very good with numbers. All the numbers in the Quran is wrong. Every number is wrong. If Muhammad will take a math test, he will fail miserably. 19 disciples. Now we got 20 Jesus. The Jews do not know what to do. So they told him, if you don't give us the real Jesus, we're going to crucify all of you. So Jesus have a meeting with his 19 other Jesuses. There are 20 in the room. They look alike. Same height, same voice, same mustache, same beard. Perfect. 20 Jesuses. So one of the little ones said, Jesus said, who would like to have a better place in heaven? Excuse me, what? That is Islamic belief. Jesus does not believe in a front view and back view, you know, back in the bigger house and more virgin. No. In heaven, we don't have a good place. It's a perfect place. So the little one of his disciples said, me, Lord, I will do it. And just, no, somebody else. And me, Lord, I said, not you. You're too young. Somebody else. Peter, James, John, Andreas, somebody else. Me, Lord. And then Allah said, he is the one who will take your place. Jesus escaped the upper room from the window. 170, 80, 200 pounds fly to the sky. Fly like an eagle. And that little one of the disciples stay, look like Jesus, and the others became back as who they are. It's 18 other disciples. And they took that guy, and they killed that guy, and they crucified that guy. And Allah said, they did not kill him nor crucify him, but it was made to appear. It looked like Jesus. It smelled like Jesus. He talked like him, but it was not the real Jesus. See now how Allah is the best deceiver? What kind of God is that? That's what Muslims believe. That's one of many different interpretations to that passage. Very ambiguous verse. But on the other hand, if we study what Jesus himself said in the Quran and what Allah said somewhere else in the Quran, we find that Jesus did die. Jesus himself. After Jesus was born, when he came out of his mother's belly, in the book of Al-Imran, chapter 3, in the Quran, and same thing in chapter 19, we learn that Jesus was a talking baby. How many of you saw Shrek? Young ladies in the back and young boys. Have you seen Shrek? The donkey talk. Talking donkey? Yes, talking. Now, same thing. Jesus was born talking. So when he came out of his mama's belly, he did not say, wah, wah, like baby doing it. Say, mama. And he started talking to her. Read the story in the Quran. It's a funny story. Quran chapter 19, verse 33 down. But here's what Isa said as a baby in the Quran.
And peace be on me the day I was born, and the day I die, and the day I am raised alive. This is Jesus, son of Mary, the saint of truth about which they doubt.
Yes, Muslims say yes, he will die. That's a future tense. The day I will. You see, Jesus is going to come back to this world in the end of time, and he will have four wives as a good Muslim prophet, and he will break the cross, meaning get rid of all the Christians, and he will kill the pig, meaning he will kill all the Jews, and then this will be the end of time, and then he will die. Future tense. Makes sense. Okay, let's move from future to present tense. Listen, Here's what Allah said in Quran chapter 3 and verse 55.
When Allah said, O Jesus, surely I will cause you to die, and I will raise you up to me, and purify you from those who became infidels, and make those who follow you above those who became infidels until the day of resurrection. Then to me is your return, so I will judge between you about what you were differing.
Allah is telling Isa, I am causing you to die. Present tense. This is something that's going to happen any minute. He didn't say, I'll bring you up to me from the window, and then later in the near future or far away future, I'll bring you back, and then I will. No, I am causing you to die. Present tense. What is the answer for that? Well, we do not know exactly what Allah meant by that, and there are different scholars have different. Well, let's go to the past tense. I love past tense. Because how can you argue about the past tense? It's already happened. Okay? Here we go. There's a very important verse in the Quran, chapter 5 and verse 117.
I did not tell them except what you had commanded me, that serve Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness among them as long as I was with them. So when you caused me to die, you were the watcher over them, and you are the witness of all things.
The words in the Arabic language, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي, when you caused me to die. You know how they translated these words in other English Qurans? When thou gathered me, when thou tookest me. Are you kidding me? Tawaffa, die. Falamma tawaffaytani, when you caused me to die, past tense. But as a matter of fact, that is the one verse which changed the life of my friend Mark, who used to be a Muslim professor at the Azhar University in Egypt. He used to be a Muslim imam, and he became a Christian because of that one verse. Because all Muslims believe that Allah is the best deceiver, and he did not allow Isa to die, but he allowed one of his disciples or somebody else to die in his place, and Jesus was never put on the cross. But that verse teaches that Isa is telling Allah, when you caused me to die in the past tense. See the confusion in Islam? By the way, you can go about any doctrine, any belief in Islam, and you see the same thing. Right and left. They're both right? Yep, they're both right. I don't know how. Let's talk about prayer. We mentioned prayers this morning. Muslim pray five times a day, and
Muhammad gave a very specific pattern of five public prayers each day. Prayers are to be repetitive and formal.
Repeating words. What I love about the Islamic prayer, as I shared with you this morning, you have to pray in the Arabic language. 87% of the Muslim people pray five times a day without having a clue what they're saying in the prayers. So I was in Orlando. You tell me I can talk longer. No complaint now. I'm going to share a couple of stories here. When I was in Orlando and I'm driving my car, a good maybe 15 years ago, and I look at my right hand and I see a lady in a hijab, you know, Muslim lady. And it's just me. I'm a weird guy. In my car with the window up, I said, Assalamu alaikum. That's a Muslim greeting. I didn't even know why I did that. But I found out later why the Lord wanted me to do that. Sometimes you do ridiculous stuff and later you figure out. And she heard me. She looked and she smiled. She put her window down. I put my window down. And I do not know what to say next. So quickly, I made up a question. Do you know where is John Young Street is? Well, I am in Orange Blossom. Orange Blossom and John Young go parallel. She said, yes, it is the next one down there. I said, oh, thank you so much. And then the traffic was in perfect time to slow down, to stop. And guess who's standing next to me? It's her. So, when I asked the question, I did not ask her in the English language. I actually asked her in the Arabic language. And she said, I'm sorry, I don't speak Arabic. So I repeat the question in the English and she told me it's the next street. So now she's standing next to me again. So I said, wait a minute, tell me, how long you become a Muslim? And she said, I've been a born again Muslim. She said, use the Christian language. That's how they lead the American to Islam. You can be a born-again Muslim. Oh, they know she was a Baptist. And Baptists believe in born-again. Trust me, if they know she's a Catholic, they will not use that system. They can use other words. For 5 years, she said. I said, wow. Traffic moved. Just less than 10 feet and we stopped again. I believe God caused an accident on the road for me to talk to that lady. Somebody have to fix his car with a few thousand dollars for me to talk to her. That's okay. The Lord does whatever he wants. So I said, so when you pray, what language do you use in your prayer? She said, of course I pray in the Arabic language. I said, well, praise Allah. A lady does not know two words in Arabic, and she prays sentence in her prayer. She said, well, praise Allah. I memorized my prayer 5 years ago. We exchanged number. We talked on the phone some other time later, and I have no idea where she's at right now. Muslims pray, repeat words in a formal way 5 times a day in America. These are doctors, lawyers, Baptist ministers who became Muslims. We got there, we debated some of them. I'm not making this up. When I say a Baptist minister in America become a Muslim, as a matter of fact, I know of a pastor, preacher, wife. She left him to marry a Muslim guy. It is evil. It's a devil work. Anyway, they pray in Arabic language, and they have no clue what they're saying in the prayer. And they feel good about themselves. Like this other lady, she said, when I used to be a Catholic, I used to be a bad girl. I never go to the church except to meet some boys and stuff like that. Used to drink and smoke. Now, since I became a Muslim, praise Allah, my life changed. I pray 5 times a day. So I ask, in what language? She's in Arabic. I spoke to her 2 simple sentences in Arabic. And she had no idea. So I don't know Arabic. I said, exactly. Because I know for sure you don't know Islam either.
So, when you will have completed the standing and sitting, so perform the prayer. Surely the prayers were prescribed at fixed times for the believers.
Now they actually time it by the second. So, it's a lot. The next prayer is going to be like 3.5 minutes from now. We got people come to church 10, 15 minutes later, okay? Some people even go 20 minutes later, okay? In Islam, you pray on time, by the second. As a question, how in the world do you figure out the second in Muhammad days? Forgiveness. Listen.
Muhammad could not forgive sins, and he could not ask God to forgive others.
One thing good about Muhammad, when he copied numbers from the Bible, he copied them on the right subject. You know what they said? He copied numbers in the right subject. So forgiveness, what is a number in the Bible fit with forgiveness? Peter, 70, exactly.
Ask forgiveness for them, or do not ask forgiveness for them. If you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, so Allah will not forgive them.
How in the world you can tell me you live as a Muslim and have joy and happiness in your life when you live all your life and you have zero assurance for the forgiveness of your sin? The only reason I am joyful and I can sing and I praise God because I know my sin is forgiven. That's the only reason. If you take that assurance out of me, I'll be miserable. Because if you don't know for sure your sin is forgiven, that means you know for sure you don't have eternal life. Maybe yes, maybe no. It's up to Allah, as Muslims believe.
Muhammad taught that God ultimately decides who he will forgive. A person has no say or choice.
You're becoming a puppet. That's exactly what you are in Islam. It's all up to Allah.
He forgives whom he wills, and he torments whom he will.
You see, the torment here is eternal hell. So if he forgive you, you will go to paradise. If he choose not to forgive you, you're going to burn in hell forever anyway. And you have no word about it. You have no choice. It's all up to Allah. Good works.
Muhammad taught that good works will erase sin. Surely good deeds drive away the evil deeds.
About mankind?
God controls the fate of all men. Your eternal destiny is up to God, not you.
As a matter of fact, Abu Bakr Siddiq, the second successor, the one who led the Muslims after Muhammad died, he said, if you have 1 foot in heaven, in paradise, and the other one is outside, he still will not trust Allah that he will make it. Because what if Allah changes his mind and remove him from paradise and send him to hell?
So Allah leads astray whom he wills and guides whom he wills, and he is the dear, the wise.
Allah in the Quran leads people astray and he sends them to hell. And Satan in the Quran leads people astray and sends them to hell. So what is the difference between Allah and Satan? These are the argument I have in my debate with the Sri Muslim Imam. Allah is Satan. How about the Jews and the Christians? I said this maybe to you earlier this morning that Muslims will tell you in America. Jews and Christians and Muslims are three branches from the Abrahamic religion. We worship the same God. Muslims love the Jewish people and Muslims love the Christian people and Muslims love everybody. But when it opens the Quran, it's a different story. For example, in Quran chapter 98 verse 6 we read,
surely those who became infidels from the people of the book and polytheists will abide in the fire of hell forever. Those are the worst of the creatures.
Let me tell you some of the worst creatures. Black dog. Why? Because Muhammad said they're demon possessed. Pigs. Why? Because they're unclean. Now we as Christian believers are worse than the pigs and the black dogs. And we will spend eternity in hell. For sure. As a matter of fact, as you see in some of my bold statement in the Quran, Jesus himself right now is burning in hell. Why? Because he accepted the worship of his disciples. That's why Muslims believe Jesus never accepted the worship of his disciples, that he's not in hell. If he did, he would be in hell. One, five, and six. I talked about earlier this morning when I introduced the name of our ministry, and now we know a little bit more about Muslim prayers. These are the words, actually the entire six verses, which Muslims repeats 17 times every day if they pray their five daily prayers.
Guide us to the straight way, the way of those whom you have graced, the Muslims, not those whom the wrath is against, the Jews, nor the lost ones, the Christians.
Every Muslim believer, when they're little boys, you know how we teach our children in our Sunday school, there might be four and five to pray, close your eyes, fold your hand, and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. We teach our children how to pray, okay? They teach their own children to pray. And they tell them, you pray and they say, guide us to the straight way, Islam. The way of those whom you have graced, the Muslims. Not Judaism, because that is the way of those whom the wrath of Allah is against. And not Christianity, because they are lost. Can you imagine? Little children in Islam grow up at the age of 5 and 6, hating the Jews and hating the Christians, just from praying the Islamic prayer.
O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and the Christians as friends. They are friends to one another. And whoever among you takes them as friends, so surely he is of them. Surely Allah does not guide the unjust people.
I was in a church in Orlando. I was not invited to speak. I just went there to interrupt the meeting, where they have the Muslims to speak there for six Sunday services in a row. Can you imagine for me to come to speak in your church the next 5 Sundays? It never happened in the past. I don't think it will ever happen in the future. Even when the church does not have a preacher, they only have me once or twice. Thank you. See you next year. But the Muslims were invited in that church in Orlando, Florida, 6 Sundays. So it was the last Sunday and the people invited me. Brother Usama, you need to come join us. I said, sure, I would love to go there. I called the church, let them know I'm going to be there. And believe me, they were ready for me. The moment I opened the door, there's a preacher following me everywhere. And he told me, Sitam, don't you dare open your mouth. You open your mouth, we'll throw you out of here. So I'm sitting in the chair, and the guy, the imam in the pub, is telling the people, as we have shared with you the last 5 Sundays, Jews and Christian Muslims, 3 branches, we're like this. We're friends like this. We love each other like this. And he kept emphasizing on friends. And the Lord took my heart and said, hey, look at the Quran they're giving to the people. See, how is it translated? Quran chapter 5, verse 51. So I'm sitting in the chair. In front of me, there's an empty chair. On the empty chair, there's a Quran. So I'm looking, and here's the Quran. So I told the lady sitting next to me, would you mind to look at your Quran? She said, oh, no. Go in the back of the chair. They have lots of Quran. You can take as much as you want. It's all for free. You can take 5 or 10. I said, ma'am, I just want to look at the verse. So I grabbed she said, okay. I grabbed the verse and I opened 551. And guess what? It translates exactly word for word like that. Exactly. I said, didn't even fix it. So I told her, would you please read that verse? She said, what? I said, 551. I put my finger in. So she holds the Quran and she read it and she looked back at me with an angry face and she said, you are the most hateful person I have ever met. I am the most hateful person she have ever met. And instead of she stand up and say, Mr. Imam, excuse me, why do you lie to us? You've been lying to us for 6 weeks. Tell us that we're friends and your Quran here, the one you gave me, your translation said, don't take the Jews and Christians for friends. No, she actually got it backwards. When Romans said that they actually were given to their own sin, given to their own blindness, given to their own stupidity. That's exactly what this woman was. That's why they don't like me all over America. I said, maybe Muslims need to read the Quran they're giving to the people before they give it to the people. They don't. Why? It's not certain Jews and Christians. He's speaking to the believers. Don't you take any Jews or any Christian for they are friend to one another. That is the reason why Allah does not want the Muslims to take the Jews or Christian for friends. And by the way, if you do it, you become one of them. If you take a Christian for a friend, you become a Christian. It's true. All the Muslims whom the Lord used me to lead to him in my life started because we become friends. And if they never took me for a friend, they will never listen to me. They will never hear my loving heart towards them, and they will never get saved. And for sure, if the Muslim will take a Jew for a friend, he will become a Jew. And what happened if they become a Christian? The wrath of Allah will be on them. What happened if they become a Christian? The anger of God will be on them. They will spend eternity in hell. That's what it is. So Muhammad was so smart. He created his cult. He made people believe in it. And he knows that Christian and Jew knows that everything he wrote in the Quran was wrong. So the best way to avoid losing your people tells them, don't you dare talk to this guy or this guy. Don't take them for a friend. Not only Allah commands the Muslim believers not to take the Jews and Christians for friend, but actually to kill them.
Engage in war with those who do not believe in Allah and in the last day, and do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid, and do not believe in the religion of the truth among those who have been given the book until they pay the tribute out of hand and they are subdued.
Kills them. Kills them. Why?
Infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the Christ, Son of Mary.
Because we're infidels. Do you know any Christian who does not believe that Jesus is God Almighty? Okay. Do you know any Christian who does not believe in Trinity?
Infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the third of three.
So we are just infidels, and Muslims are commanded by Allah never to be our friends and just to kill us. That's amazing. I go to these meetings where Muslims speak in churches, and I ask the Muslim imam to quote these verses, and they will not read it. I said, why do you call Christians wonderful, loving people if you know they're infidels? Well, no, Christians are not infidels. Christians and Jews are the people of the book. Why Allah said in the Quran to kill the Jews and the Christians, the people of the book? Why Allah in the Quran said to terrorize the people of the book, the Jews and the Christian? Quran 33, verses 26 and 27. And plenty of verses. I mean, why Allah hates the Jews and the Christian if you love them? Why Allah wants you to kill them if you think there's nothing wrong with the Americans? The problem is, Muslim imam knows the Quran, and their audience all over the liberal churches in this interfaith meetings and meet your Muslim neighbor meetings and the city hall meetings and that meeting, American people are so stupid. I'm sorry to say that. If we as a church, the light and the soul, do not know too much about Islam, do you think the people outside know anything? They just believe in lies. What does the Quran teach about women?
Muhammad taught that women are inferior to men and that men are in charge of women. A woman's mind is inferior to a man's mind.
But that's not what they teach women in America. The largest number of people after black men in our prisons in America who are converting to Islam in the hundreds of thousands. We're talking about millions of Americans are becoming Muslim in the last 15 years. The large number after the black men are white females. Why? Because they teach him nothing but the opposite of what Islam teaches about women. Get my DVD, Women in Islam, and watch it. 1.5 hours. You'll learn everything you want to know about women. Tonight I'm going to share with you just a couple slides. Here we go.
Men are in charge of women because Allah preferred some of them above the others.
Allah preferred men. End of story.
Muhammad taught that touching a woman makes a man unclean.
And to get clean after touch a woman, if you do not find water to wash, you rub your face and your hand with good dirt. What is a good dirt? My mama told me there is no clean dirt. All dirt is dirty. Good dirt is a loose dirt. That is a dirt does not have camel poopy or camel pee-pee. Okay? Loose dirt. You get some loose dirt and you rub your hand and you rub your face and now you're clean. After touching a woman. Here we go. Allah in the Quran.
O you who believe, do not come near the prayer. If you have touched the women and do not find water, then rub your face and your hands with good dirt.
I'm not making this up. How about marriage?
Muhammad taught that there can be up to 4 believing wives per man and an unlimited number of captive women.
If you capture a woman, if you kidnap a girl in any age, especially little children, it is lawful for a Muslim man to enjoy them sexually. That's why we have 2% of the Muslim Bangladeshi and Pakistani in England responsible for 84% of the children raped, including killing many of them in England. In England. These are not numbers I made up. That is the court records. We talk about that in depth when we do our presentation, revealing the truth about Sharia, Islamic law, and what America will look like in the future. I hope we can do that presentation sometime in the future.
So marry what appeals to you from the women, 2 and 3 and 4. So if you fear that you will not treat them equally, so 1, or have sex with what your right hand possesses.
مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانَكُمْ. We talk about that actually also in depth in our presentation, revealing the truth about slavery. Slavery in Islam.
Muhammad said that marriage can be ended by agreement. It can also be purchased for a limited time.
No kidding. We call this marriage for fun. It's available in the Sharia, Islamic law, the reliance of the traveler. And what we talk about also when we cover our presentation, revealing the truth about Sharia. In the law of Islam, by the way, that's what I studied in college. My expertise was 2 years studying in marriage and divorce in Islam, Sharia, marriage and divorce. So when you write a contract, you say, I will marry you for this amount of dollar, and if I divorce you, here's what I'm going to pay you back. And there's agreement on it. So there's no disagreement. Okay? Not realizing that 30 years later, when he married, she was 20. When he divorced her, she was 50 or 60. The money he's going to give her back will not buy her bread to eat. Because the value of the money goes to nothing. And the Sharia teach, if she asks for the divorce, she gets nothing. How hard it is for a Muslim man to make his wife begging him to divorce him, to divorce her. It's very simple. Practice another verse in the Quran. Beat her in the morning, beat her in the afternoon, and beat her in the evening. When you beat her enough, she said, please divorce me, please. Okay, you're divorced. End of story.
And it is lawful to you, besides this, to seek out women with your money, chaste without fornication. So whatever you enjoy by it from them, so give them their wages.
That's filth. It's called marriage for fun. A man marry a woman for 3 minutes or half hour or a couple weeks, 2 days, whatever. You watch video. Go online and watch video, marriage for fun. Where a man proposed to a woman and she said, what kind of marriage? She said, for fun. How many days? 4 days. Oh, no, at least a week. No, 4 days is how much I want you. Because I'm leaving, go back to my wife. Okay, 4 days, how much you pay me? 300 dinar. 300 dinar? I will get 300 dinar in half a day. They negotiate the price. How much? Prostitution in Sharia, in the word of Allah in the Quran, is marriage. What do we know about Islam? Hardly anything, do we? We think Islam, they actually teach our college kids in America, and I attend these meetings, that in Islam, sexual relationship and intimacy is more pure than any other religion. Because we don't have, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, live together. You have to be married to be, excuse me, what? That is filth. The word of Allah teach to live like animals. And there are so many type of marriages that we have children here tonight I cannot talk about. Heaven. What does the Quran teach about heaven?
Muhammad taught that heaven is an eternal garden paradise with many virgins, both male and female.
Can you imagine what is forbidden in the world is lawful in Islam? They kill homosexuals in the world, but in heaven, Allah gave the Muslims the right to enjoy other men, little boys.
In them, good and beautiful maidens, ever virgins confined in the tents, no human nor jinn has ever had sex with. Going around them, immortal young boys.
In his interpretation, as I believe Sayyid Qutb, one of the early leaders of the Brotherhood of Egypt, he said, remember when you go to grandma and she has this cookie, the chocolate cookie, which you love a lot, and you go up quickly and soft and look around, you put your hand to get one of these glass and say, not now, Johnny, and she puts the lid back again. But grandma, not now, after dinner, not now. And after dinner, what grandma does, she open and she give you not just one, she give you three or four. That's exactly how Allah will treat his Muslim believers. You cannot drink right now, but I'll give you a river later. River of wine. You cannot do this, but you can have it later, multiply.
Muhammad taught that heaven is a place where the forbidden fleshly pleasures on earth are experienced to the extreme. The parable of the garden which Allah has promised the fearer. There are rivers of water and rivers of milk and rivers of wine and rivers of clarified honey.
Exactly. Drink and is delicious for those who drink it. How about hell? What does the Quran teach about hell?
Muhammad said that hell is an eternal fiery punishment of all those cursed by God. Even Muslims will be there for some period of time.
You see the language? You know what the word eternal? It is more than some period of time. Trust me. If you go to hell, you're not getting out. You're going to be there eternally. The Muslim cannot see the contradiction in his own word. Eternal place, Muslim will be there for a little bit. They're not getting it.
So whoever is removed from the fire and enters the garden, so indeed he becomes triumphant.
How can you be removed from the fire if it is eternal? How about the rest of the Muslims?
And there is none of you who will not go down into hell. This was an unavoidable decree of your Lord.
They asked Muhammad, even you, O Apostle of Allah? He said, yet, even me, unless Allah cover me with his mercy. Muhammad did not know if he will not go to hell or not. But don't forget, in the seven pillars of Islam, the pillar of jihad, if you die for the sake of Allah, you will never go to hell. So Muslims commit suicide for Allah, so they guarantee themselves they will not go to hell. And what happened when they die while they're killing some Jews or Christian or others? They actually will spend eternity in hell.
Hell is mainly filled with women.
You know the hesitation in his voice here? When Brother Randy here is recording the word women, he actually look around, make sure his wife is not there. Filled with women. He's afraid of his wife. Because trust me, she is strong. She can knock him down. It'll be the end of his life. So Muslim women live in this world in hell. If you watch my video, Women in Islam, or if we do it in the future, they live literally on earth in hell. And when they die, they go to hell.
I also saw the hellfire, and I had never seen such a horrible sight. I saw that most of the inhabitants were women.
Many of the saying of Muhammad assured us of that. How about when people reject Islam? What is what does the Quran teach about the rejection of Islam? So in Christianity, we know that Jesus asked us to go and share the gospel with people. And the Bible tells us not everybody is going to hear, not everybody is going to listen. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us what we do. If people not listen, you do what? You curse them. No, you shake the dust off your feet at their door and say goodbye. Go to somebody else. In Islam, it's a little bit different. See, I'll tell you, you need to repent, you need to convert Islam, and if you said no, we got an answer. It's very simple. Here it is.
Muhammad ordered Muslims to attack and kill anyone who rejects Islam.
That's all. No problem at all. Exactly. Yeah.
So, when the forbidden months are passed, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So, if they repent, and perform the prayer, and give the legal alms, so leave their way free. Surely, Allah is forgiving, merciful.
Notice order. We start, number one, by killing. Who? The men. Number two, by taking the wife and the children as concubines or slaves. Number three, if they convert to Islam, if they repent. Here's the three options the American people, you, will leave for your grandchildren in America 30 years from now. Not 300 years from now, 30, maybe 40 years from now. You know why there's still Christian in Egypt and in the Middle East? It's because America is still here. You know what happened when America fall under Islam? The persecution of the church will be worldwide. We'll be crushed. You know why? Because the church in America choose not to learn about Islam and reach out to the lost Muslims in America. So they're here. They're not going anywhere. What is the ultimate goal of Islam? What Muslims really want to accomplish in America? Why are they here? These are four or five slides come to you from our presentation, revealing the truth about Sharia, Islamic law, which I hope and I pray we can do in the future. Listen to that. We American, you know, we pledge allegiance to our flag. We put our hand on our heart. There's no flag here in that church. That's okay. We pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. You know, we do that, okay? Muslims have their own pledge too. And from the pledge, you can figure out what they're trying to accomplish. Or what they are hoping to accomplish in America. Here it is.
Allah is our goal. The Messenger is our model. The Quran is our constitution. Jihad is our means. Martyrdom in the way of Allah is our inspiration.
That's what every child, even the Muslim kids in our schools in America, the Muslim schools in America, that is their creed. That's what they teach them. That's what they grow up to say.
The Muslim Brotherhood and their organizations in the U.S. are dedicated to a process of settlement they term as a civilization jihadist process, describing. Brotherhood members emphasize that they follow the laws of the nations in which they operate. They stress that they do not believe in overthrowing the U.S. government, but rather that they want as many people as possible to convert to Islam.
Why? You know why? So we can practice Sharia Islamic law in America. Here it is. Listen, hear this.
So that one day, perhaps generations from now, a majority of Americans will support a society governed by Islamic law. He, Mustafa Saeed, a Floridian who left the U.S. Brotherhood in 1998, says he found out.
Before we find out what Mustafa Saeed found out, the first slide, it says, they will not take over the country. They love our constitution. Why? Because they want as many people to convert to Islam. Why? So we can practice Islamic law, Sharia, and get rid of your constitution. It's English. That's their handwritings. I'm copying that from their own videos, from their own writings, from the Holy Land Foundation trial, and on material come from them directly. Now let's see what Mustafa Saeed found out, 1998.
That the U.S. Brotherhood had a plan for achieving Islamic rule in America. It would convert Americans to Islam and elect like-minded Muslims to political office.
I've been talking about that in America for the last 20 years, 21 years. Have anybody listened to me? We would not have neither Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib or Keith Ellison or the 30 Muslims who are running right now for 2020 election. in the Democrat Party. As a matter of fact, not just Democrat Party. You know, there is a lady in the 5th District in Minnesota who is running as a Republican against Ilhan Omar. As a Republican against Ilhan Omar, a Muslim from Iraq. So now the conservative, so Muslims are smart. They said, after what Ilhan Omar said and did, if you listen to my radio program every day, I've been talking about Ilhan Omar, I think they're playing them right now. So now, if the American people refuse Ilhan Omar and they want to thrown out, well, guess what? We're going to replace her in the Republican Party with another Muslim lady. Now Muslims have both feet in the both party in America, the Democrat and the Republican, and they're going to continue to win. Why? Because you are the problem. Why? Because the Christian of America refused to run for office. So you don't want to be the king? That's okay. I'll make the Muslim kings for you. That's okay. Don't run your country. We got now in our school boards all over this country, nothing but liberals and Muslims. I have never seen but few Christian ladies and men who will go and get that office, which is the future of America. We cannot remove one of these 40 Muslims books all over our public schools in America. We cannot remove one of these books from our schools because we do not have any to support us in the school board members. All of them liberals and Muslims. Where is the church? Why can't one of you run for this office? No, you don't want it. Brother Usama, we don't want to talk about politics in our church. That's okay, that's okay. Don't worry. The church will not be no more. Take it easy. Enjoy life. Enjoy life. Jihad. What the Quran teach about jihad? What is written in that book? As a matter of fact, in 09.0, in the book here, if you look in the top, element 09.0. If somebody would like to read it. That statement here is here in the book. That book is written in English for the last 30 years. We should never allow any person run for office to write laws for America. These are the Congress and Senate, unless they read that book. You want to be a congressman? Yes, you have to pass the test. What? Read that book. The book of Sharia, the reliance of the travel. Arabic and English, 1,200 pages. Actually, he's going to read only 600 pages. He can read it. Those who write bills, hundreds and hundreds of pages, they can read that in one day. If they can pass a bill with 3,000 pages in half a day, they can read that book in an hour. And after they read that book, we can allow you to run for office. We're going to give you a test. Make sure you know what Muslims believe, what the Quran teach, so we can save America. No, they mock me when I ask them to read that book. Go ahead, mock me. Soon they will lock me up. You know what my wife fear, and I have shared this with you. My wife fear is not someday she'll get a phone call, somebody shot me. Her fear, number one, someday she'll get a phone call, your husband was arrested by the FBI or the CIA or Homeland Security for what he's doing. And believe it or not, your preacher will tell you someday from that pulpit here that Usama was arrested last week or Usama got killed last week, one of the two. But my wife's fear is for me to get arrested, not get killed by the Muslims. That's how stupid our government become in America.
Jihad means to war against non-Muslims and is etymologically derived from the word mujahada, signifying warfare to establish the religion. The scholarly basis for jihad, prior to scholarly consensus, is such Quranic verses as...
So why we have jihad? Why does the Quran teach jihad? To establish Islam. It's not Christianity or Judaism, okay? It's Islam. That's the book of Sharia. Let me show you a couple of verses.
War is decreed to you, and it is hated by you. And perhaps you may hate something, and it is good for you. And perhaps you love something, and it is evil for you. And Allah knows, and you do not know.
And how many verses we have in the Quran like that one? 79. Remember the video we watched, the Muslim Imam from England? He said, we cannot compromise the word of Allah. 26 verses about jihad, and 79 verses about war. Read the interpretation of Muslim scholar to these verses. That we need to, you see the word war here, W-A-O-R? They will translate it in their interpretation, performing jihad. That is the verse that book chose to give to us. I'm reading to you what is written in 09.0. The book is available. Come look at it. So they understand war here is about jihad. Okay?
They desire that you should become infidels as they are infidels, so that you should be alike. So do not take any of them for friends until they emigrate for the sake of Allah.
So if they turn away, so seize them and kill them wherever you find them, and do not take from them as friends or helpers.
So now we got verses in the Quran where the direct command of Allah is kill. Kill them. Why? Who? The Christian. Why? Because you want to make you an infidel. Why does he kill our missionary overseas? Oh, because these are radicals. No! They're not radicals. They're Muslim believers. They know that missionary here in our country to convert our children to infidelity, to Christianity. Therefore, we kill him. Why? Because Allah said so. Kill him. If that missionary will not convert Islam, immigrate Christianity, leave Christianity, become a Muslim, if he will not choose that, they give him 3 days, by the way. Then you kill him.
Muhammad said, I have been commanded to engage in war with people until they testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Muhammad also said, to go forth in the morning or evening to fight in the path of Allah is better than the whole world and everything in it.
Notice here, here is a shahada. Remember the video we saw, the guy did not speak Arabic. I bear witness there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That is a shahada. Now, can we teach our children the truth about shahada in our public schools? Yes, Muslim, first pillar is the pillar of shahada. That is when people say that statement. And if, that's what we need to add in the textbooks, and if people choose not to say the shahada, they must be put to death. Can we put that in our textbooks? Here we go. I have been commanded to engage in war. I mean, commanded to kill people until they say the shahada. Why can't we use that hadith to teach our children in our public schools about the true nature of Islam? No, no, no. Islam is love. Islam is peace. And all our children leaving our public schools believe that I am a hateful person. I am Islamophobe. I am a racist. I am whatever names they want to give to me. And they protest me. When I speak in big crowds, in big church, in big crowds, and people protest outside, most of the people who protest me, the white American, even some black, are college kids. Why? Because they learn Islam is love, Islam is peace. And if they hear me speak, they know I teach Islam is a savage cult. So they have to protest me. They must.
The director of the Dallas Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, Mustafa Carroll, made a surprising and shocking statement during a Muslim rally in Austin, Texas. He firmly believes that the message of the Quran is supreme over the United States Constitution. He said, if we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law of the land.
This is the same guy you see on Fox News wearing a suit and a tie. Members of CARE are all over Fox News. Every time there's some Muslim attack, members of CARE go there and say, this has nothing with Islam. We condemn this act. And American people are believing it. This is the last session for our meeting tonight. So I'm going to be a little bit late than 7:30, but we'll do our best here. How to reach Muslims for Christ. How to reach Muslims for Christ. I got this small booklet available on our table. I hope and I pray before you leave, get 5 of them. It's $1 a piece. And if you get 20... 25, I'll give them to you for $20. You can get 5 extra for free if you get a stack of 25. Anyway, in that book, I talk about three very, very important facts. Fact number one, the Bible is the perfect word of God, never been changed and corrupted, using the Quran to prove that. Second fact, the Quran is not the word of God. And third fact is the teaching of the gospel. We share the gospel written specifically for Muslims. It's an easy English. Any Muslim will read it will, even non-Muslim, a good Baptist by name, a good Catholic, if they read that booklet, they'll become Christian. Now, what we say and what we hear is the opposite of what we say and what Muslims hear. Okay? So, if you're going to share the gospel with a Muslim like you share the gospel with Jehovah's Witness or some Catholic or some Baptist by name, okay? So, you knock at the door and you share the gospel with them. That is exactly what we normally do.
Oh, hello. My name is Randy. I'm a local Christian, and I'm out sharing with people from the Bible today about how Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternal life. Would you like to know more?
That's what we normally, I'll just give you a small, you know, couple sentences here. Now, what we say and what Muslims hear is completely the opposite. So listen carefully. How Muslim will hear the same words which Brother Randy shared with us here?
Well, hello. My name is Randy, and I'm a local polytheist infidel, and I'm out today sharing with folks from a corrupted book about the prophet Esau, who is actually, we believe, one of three different gods, and how by believing in him who didn't die on the cross for your sins, you can become an infidel and burn in hell forever. Would you like to know more?
Hope you got it. You cannot share the gospel with the Muslims like you share the gospel with your neighbors. It does not work. If you share every truth about the Bible with the Muslims, he know for sure, without any doubt, that you are a lost person, you're an infidel, and you try to make him an infidel like you, so he would say, no, thank you. Even if they smile and nice, it would be nice to you and smile on your face and, you know, welcome you into their home and give you a cup of drink because he's hoping someday he will lead you to Islam. But he will not listen to anything you're going to say. Trust me. I know this for a fact. So you cannot communicate without the same language. If you want to share the gospel with a Muslim, you're talking about even language. If I spoke to you tonight or this morning in the Arabic language, it would be much easier for me. Trust me. I can go faster, smoother, and you understand what I'm saying. I'm not going to worry about what verb, what tense. It will be natural. I talk to my language, my mother tongue. But how much will you learn in the end of 5-6 hour talk? I guarantee you learn nothing. So you have to have the same language to communicate with people. You cannot share the gospel without the same understanding. For what? Whatever you're saying. When Muslims say justice, are they talking about our justice? No. The justice of Islam. The justice of Sharia. You see, justice in Islam is for me to beat my wife. It's just. But if I broke her bones, that's not just. So Muslims say, we live with justice. I treat my wife with justice. Oh, I'm glad you're saying that. Which means you agree with him. It's okay for him to beat his wife 5-6 times a day. As long as he does not break bones. When we talk about Jesus, do Muslims really believe in our... You ask Muslims, do you believe in Jesus? Oh yeah, we believe in Jesus. You cannot be a Muslim unless you believe in Jesus. Say it online. All Muslims teach it in our liberal churches in America. Every Muslim believe in Jesus. What Jesus? Son of God? No. The one who died on the cross rose again? No. Jesus, the good teacher, the good prophet, the good man. That's all? Yeah. So we have to understand what Muslims say by mean by Jesus or the Bible or sin. Well, what is sin in Islam? There is no sin in Islam. I'm not kidding you. Give me an example of sin. What is sin? Lying. Lying? Okay, I got your letter. Lying. You know what Muhammad tells the Muslim in the Quran? It is in Sharia, in the Hadith. It is lawful to lie in three cases. Lawful to lie. That means lie is not sin. Three cases. Your wives, your enemies, and your friends. But besides that, you can lie. And that covers everybody. You can lie to your wife to please them. You can lie to your enemy because war is deception. And you can lie to your friends to make peace between them. It is lawful to lie. How about adultery? What is adultery in Christianity? You look at a woman with your eyes and lust in your heart, you already commit adultery. In Islam, there's a small sin. It's called lamam. Lamam is everything a man can do with a female without having intercourse. That is not adultery. How about stealing? It is lawful and good. Quran chapter 8, Allah said, it is lawful and good. Take it. What? The spoil. What? The money you steal from the Jews and the Christian. How about killing? It is the command of Allah all over the Quran to kill. How about eating pork meat? Well, it's forbidden to eat pork meat in Islam. Are you sure? Can you read these three verses again? Because Allah said, you cannot eat pork or animals strangled or animals die by itself. You don't know how they die. You cannot eat these animals, okay? But here is the verse, same three verses. If you are compelled, it is lawful. Under two conditions. You don't go for a second. You just fill one dish. All the bacon, all the sausage you can put. Fill it one time. Don't go for a second. And don't desire it. It's like, man, I have to eat bacon because that's everything available. That's the only thing available. So there is no sin. How about drinking? I can show you in the Quran. It's okay to drink. Literally, there is no sin in Islam. And if you see that we talk about sin in two different understandings and there is no problem with sin, so why we need salvation? Why a Muslim need a savior to die on the cross for him, to save him from his sin, if he does not have sin? If you are not sick, why you take medicine? Are you following me? I'm losing you. I'm almost done. Here we go. There are things Muslims believe about Christianity that are not true. As we said earlier, the Bible. The Bible has been changed. The Bible has got, that's not true. The Quran does not teach that. There are things Muslims believe about Islam that are not true. Islam is love. Islam is peace. That's not true. Muhammad is the final prophet of Allah. That's not true. And we can use the Quran to prove that. There are things that are missing from Islam. Salvation. The problem of sin. The original sin doesn't exist. How about things that are denied in Islam? The deity of Christ. Salvation is also denied, as we read in the Quran chapter 4, verse 157, 158. And that's how we can share the gospel with Muslims. The more we know about Islam, the better we're equipped to share the gospel with Muslims. And I'm giving you just examples here. As a matter of fact, that's a workshop. It took us a whole day to cover our workshop, how to share the gospel with Muslims. 8 hours after you do your homework. That's reading my Quran, reading the 2-volume books, and watch my videos. That's how I can give you the degree. I said, now you're qualified to go knock at the door next door, Muslim next door, to share, not to go to China. Because in America, we're saying, well, to do is a great commission is you run to the airport and you fly 10,000 miles away, learn a new language in some faraway country, and now you're a missionary. That's not even biblical. Jesus did not tell his disciples, go to Egypt. He said, go to Jerusalem, and they move it to Judea, and then to Samaritan, and then you can go to the end of the world. If you never led Muslim to Christ in America, don't go anywhere. You're wasting your time and your money. And I hate it when missionaries go overseas. They never read the Quran. They know nothing about Islam. And we train them in America in our Baptist associations, IMB, the International Mission Board. We train them, don't tell where you're going. If you are afraid to tell your friends in America who's going to be praying for you, you're going to Egypt, do me a favor. Don't go to Egypt because you're going to be a tourist in Egypt for 4 or 5 years. Learn the language, learn the culture, learn about the food, and then you come to America without sharing the gospel with one Muslim person. Islam is like that. Islam is like that. This is very important. Lots of beliefs Muslims believe in all their life since they were born until they physically die. This is the 114th chapter of the Quran. It's a huge structure. And for you to put Christ or Christianity in the top of that, it will never work. And I've seen some Christian missionaries, sadly, from overseas, who are trying to love the Muslim people without taking that building down. So they would say, well, there's so many similarities between Christianity and Islam. I'm sorry, nothing. I challenge any of these missionaries, Christian like me. They do like me, exactly. They travel like me, speak just like me, and have material, beautiful material. Actually, they have better books than mine. Fancy books, fancy PowerPoint presentation. And they teach, we worship the same God. I'm sorry, we don't. Allah is Satan. We Muslims believe in Moses and Jesus and Adam. And no, none of these stories are true. Read my 2-volume books. They're all wrong. They all deny every truth about the scripture. And on and on. So they're trying to keep the Islam exist. And at the same time, these things, they can love the Muslim, lead them to Christ. It does not work. We have to take that building completely down. We have to remove Islam. How we do is that? By learning Islam. By studying the book. It's all in the book. And I ask many of our missionaries, have you ever read the Quran? No. How long have you been working in Indonesia? 30 years. A man served in Indonesia. I've been there twice. 30 years, and he never led a Muslim to Christ, but he also never read the Quran. Another guy in the same group in Jakarta, he's been in Indonesia for 8 years, who asked me to share the gospel with his personal driver. Can you imagine serving in Indonesia for 8 years? You have a Muslim personal driver, and I asked him, have you ever read the Quran? No, not really. A doctor knew nothing about medicine or disease. Will you go to him to do a surgery on you? The Quran teaches the Bible cannot be corrupted. It is the perfect word of God. That's the first portion we cover in the green booklet. And I give you just a little bit for the Muslims. You actually need to learn more about that by getting my DVD, Has the Bible Been Corrupted? It's a powerful presentation. I believe it's an hour and a half or 2 hours, something like that. Now, we ask some question like when the Bible was corrupted or was destroyed, who destroyed it, where, what country in the world the Bible was destroyed, because we should have some places the Bible is not corrupt, or where in the Bible, which part of the Bible has been destroyed or corrupted, why it was destroyed. And believe me, I can talk about that for a long hour. If the Muslims say the Quran was corrupted before Islam, that's why Allah sent Muhammad. So why Allah in the Quran said to the Muslims and to Muhammad to believe in the Bible? Why Allah in the Quran ordered Muhammad to go back to the Jews and the Christian and check his Quran by their books? Why Allah in the Quran said none can change the word of Allah? If it was corrupted after Muhammad, we have a bigger problem. Why? Because we got manuscript. I own one myself, dated to 371 AD. I bought it on purpose, so I can show it to the Muslim. This is written 350 years before Muhammad was a gleam in his father's eye. And it had our biblical beliefs word for word in the Greek language. Codex P. 350 years before Muhammad's born. And it's perfect match what we have in our Bible today of who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us on the cross. So anyway, we'll move on. Obviously, so this is an assumption. Muslims are assuming that the Bible has been corrupted or destroyed. But in reality, there is no any proof of that. The Quran cannot be the word of God due to the errors and contradiction. And here I encourage you, and I encourage you, and I hope you read these two books, because in these two books, you'll have enough evidence that the Quran cannot be the word of God. Lots of nonsense. I mean, it's a joke. Some of these things you read in these books, you'll make you laugh. If you have a rough day in your work, and you have a rough day with your children or somebody, you go at night and you open the Quran and get you a chapter, read a chapter, you feel good about yourself, and you laugh and you go to sleep. Think about Solomon speaking to the ants. He was riding his horses with his soldiers, King Solomon, son of King David, and he heard the ants, and it was a limby ants, you know, have a broken foot. She was walking like that, okay? And he heard it, and the ants left her hand to Allah. Oh, Allah, send the rain on us. Because it was drought, you know. Solomon was so wise, he can hear the ants and talk to the ants and talk to the hubu. He was wise even in his death. You know, when Solomon died, he was leaning on a piece of wood, you know, king leaning on wood, for a whole year. He was dead for a whole year, and nobody figured out that he was dead. Until the termite ate the bottom of the staff, and then he fall. And when his corpse fall, that's when they found out that he was dead for a whole year. And the jinn hated himself because he worked a whole year. The jinn, the genie, Alibaba, Shubaykul Bek, you know. The jinns, the bunch of jinns, were working for Solomon for a whole year. And they did not realize that he's been dead. Plus the nonsense biologically and archaeologically and history, and it's just read the books. So what we're going to do is very simple. We're going to take that Quran down to come back to the foundation, which is a Muslim man or a woman. We're going to share with you cannot sugarcoat Islam to lead a Muslim to Christ, and you cannot water down the gospel to lead Muslim to Christ. Say it for what it is. It is ugly. So there are lots of misconception Muslim in Islam, about Islam, like the Quran is the perfect word of Allah. Well, if you read the Quran, you know that is the dumbest book I have ever wrote. And I don't think I'm going to write another one like it. Okay? In my translation, of course. Muhammad is the final prophet. No, he's not a prophet. Islam is a religion of love and peace. No, it is anything but love and peace. Islam spread by peace and evidence. No, Islam spread by the edge of the sword, as Muhammad himself assured us in his words and his action. Islam is the fast-growing religion of the world. No, it is not. Propaganda Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. The love and peace and everything else they teach. Islam teaches a high respect for women. Trust me, women have respect anywhere but not in Islam. Anywhere but not in Islam. Islam praise Mary and Jesus. Yes, indeed. For the Catholic churches. When the Muslim goes speak in the Catholic church, that's what, oh, we love Virgin Mary. We love Jesus. Yeah, tell them. What did Allah say in the Quran about Mary and Jesus? It is all but insult. Anything but, and literally, solid insult to Jesus and Mary. So Islam respect Jews and Christians as we see today. We are the worst of the creatures and we're going to burn in hell forever. That makes us very respectful in Muslim eyes. So get yourself this book, a small booklet, also the same deal. For $1, you can have a copy. And if you need for $20, for $20, you can get 25. Now, if the church will get a big amount, like a box or something like that, I'll give it to the church for the cost. It will be much cheaper. Whatever it costs to ship it to you, because I want churches to get this material, the small booklet, and give it away. Have you ever met with a Muslim in an airport, in a gas station, in a Walmart, and your heart was aching inside you. Man, I want to share the gospel with this person. What I'm going to tell him? What I'm going to tell her? You don't know what to say. You don't have time. You look at, man, it's 7:30. I told you, I'm going to finish 7:30, okay? So I'm right on time. So, and he said, like, I'm really, and it's she's bumping in the gas station. I mean, you're not going to stop the guy and tell him about Jesus. Hey, how are you doing? Do you speak English? Oh, praise God. I'm glad. You know what? I got this small booklet here. It's called The Straight Way to Eternal Life. Another one, it's the Violent Truth About Islam. I know maybe you don't believe Islam. And actually what I do is I ask people a question. Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. Yes. Muslim are loving people. Yes. Muslim worship the same God. Yes. And asked like maybe 7, 8 questions. I said, do you want to know the true answer for all these questions? Because you answer them all wrong. Oh, no. Yes, indeed. I said, well, how about this? I give you that book. My number in the back here. And my telephone number is here in the back. So feel free. If you find me not telling the truth, just give me a call back. So far, I never heard a Muslim call me back. So, and he said, the guy who wrote this book, he's crazy. He's Egyptian. And he put his number in the back. Give him a call. You're not going to meet this guy again or that lady again. Thank you. God bless you. They will smile on your face and they will take them. If the Holy Spirit is in it and touch their heart by reading this two small booklet, maybe I'll get a phone call and we can share more with them. Or maybe someday in your church here, we're going to have some Muslim convert to Christ. Because if it could happen in Egypt, we have churches in Egypt. Like my own brother church used to have two churches, one for the Egyptian Christian, one for the Muslim convert. We can do it in America. Trust me. Muslims are here. And they're not going anywhere. Muslims number double every 10 years. If we, today we have in America, say 15 million, I believe we have more than 15 million, because our lawyer, our lawmakers, the Congress and Senate and governor, will never use the word Muslim and the word illegal in one sentence. So I guarantee you, in America, we got at least 50 million illegal Muslims. Yes, we got 14, 15 Mexican, illegal Mexican, millions illegal Mexican, and we can talk about them because they're Catholic. From one country, Mexico, to America, there are 12, 15 million. From the Muslim world, we have not one illegal Muslim in America. Can you imagine that? And that, by the way, go to the airport and see how many Muslims travel from the whole world to Mexico. And trust me, they come to America. They don't like Mexico. There's nothing for the Muslim in Mexico, even though there are plenty of mosques there, and they're bringing Spanish Mexican to America as Muslims. So we got 15 million in America. I'm going to be nice in my numbers. 15 million in 10 years, there will be 30 millions. In 20 years, there will be 60 millions. In 30 years, there will be 120 million Muslim in America. Trust me. Way, way before 30 years, America is no more. That is if we never have a Democrat in the White House. Only Trump and his son and his grandson. You understand that? Why? Because if we got one Democrat in the White House, they will do the opposite of what Mr. Trump is trying to do right now. Which means you will be like, think of Marco Angela, Angela Marco, whatever this lady name in Germany. She brought 2.some million Muslim refugee in Germany in 2.5 years. Can you imagine? Germany is the same size of Texas. No, actually, you can put 3 Germany in Texas. Can you imagine if we got a liberal president, some of these wacko, and they will decide to love the Muslim people right and take care of the border, remove the border, as they all say, we don't need a border. As a matter of fact, they will send Muslim refugees to America. By the way, who names them refugees? The liberal church. Why? Because they take Obama's money to bring them to America. And we can talk about that for another hour, but I don't have time for it. So now we're going to bring Muslim refugees to America, just 1 million in every state. Not 2, not 2.5. Oh, 500,000 in every state. So in the next 4 years, 20 to 24, we're going to have 25 million new Muslim refugees in America. Now, go with the 25 with the same statistics. They double their number every day. In 10 years, a man with 4 wives, he can easy have 15, 20 kids. Well, we're not going to allow Muslims to have 4 wives in America. They do it in Canada. Why not in America? Freedom of religion, ladies and gentlemen. The Quran teach 4 wives, therefore you can have 4 wives. And then later, the Quran teach unlimited number of concubines and slaves. They will take your daughters as concubines and slaves. Don't worry. It is a sad story. But if the church wake up in the next few months and few years and start ministering to the Muslim people who live in America, we can change the world. I'm not kidding you. Because these people get saved, they will be ministering to their own family overseas. Have the church in America did what is right 40 some years ago when the Muslims start coming to America and we start meeting in the airport and bring them to our community and bring them in a house near the church and minister the gospel to them and love on them the true love of Jesus Christ and lead them to Christ because we studied the Quran, because we learned Islam. And they didn't. They didn't know nothing. You know what we'll have today in America? No Muslims. Why? Because the embassies, the American embassies overseas, will be begging people to come to America, but their families say no. We don't want our children to go to America and convert to Islam. They may send somebody to kill them, but they're not going to bring them to come to America. But what did the church did the last 40 years, 50 years? We did nothing. Nothing. Even the liberals helped Mr. Barack Hussein Obama to bring the Muslims next day to you. And actually here, there's some refugees here. And what's so amazing, they bring the refugees to Minnesota, but they don't keep them in Minnesota because they send them to Florida. We got in Northport thousands of Muslim Somali from Minnesota to Florida. Well, the governor in Florida will not allow them to go there. But guess what? The governor of Minnesota would love to have them. And he told his people, if you don't like it, leave. But the problem is not he's bringing the Muslims to his state. He's bringing the Muslims to the United States of America. And there's no law in America that said, if I'm a Muslim in Florida, I cannot go to Ohio, or I cannot go to New York or California. I can go anywhere. Let's love the Muslim people right. Let's share the gospel with the Muslim people. How? First, educate yourself, and then you educate others. And as the Lord leads, you may have a convert group of Muslims in that building, worshiping Jesus Christ in their own language. It could happen. Or, thank you, Brother Usama, appreciate you. You talk too much. And we like what you have done. Maybe we'll call you sometime in the future to have you back again. Some churches will never have me back. I've spoken to some churches, and I can see in their face, not you, I can see that we made a mistake. This guy called us stupid. And I said, no, I don't call you stupid. You are stupid. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what? Lack of knowledge equal what? The word stupid. Stupidity. I mean, you can change it to something else nice to tickle your ear, but it's true. As a matter of fact, we in America are stupid on purpose. See, the European did not know anything about Islam. Now, we can see what's happening in Europe, but we ignore it. We don't talk about it. How many churches in America talk about ISIS? How many churches in America talk about the 600,000 Christian and Yazidi men who were beheaded by ISIS and their wives and their daughters were sold just the last 10 years? Anybody talk about it? We don't talk about why, because it's not politically correct, and we don't want to scare the people in America. So what do? We bring Muslims to America. Same people who are killing the Christian men in many shape and form. We have children here tonight. And taking their wives and daughters as concubine slaves as the same Muslims we bring to America as refugees. From where? From Iraq, from Syria, from Somalia, from Nigeria. God have mercy on America. Let's pray. And Father God, we give thanks to you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing me to be alive even today. There is some reason why you kept me alive until today. Thank you for calling me for that ministry. Thank you for allowing godly preacher like this one here to allow me to come to speak to his people. There are plenty of coward one out there who will not even meet with me for a cup of coffee. And the answer was, we'll call you in the future. And I pray, Lord, that you will raise godly Christian men and women. Even the younger generation who I see here tonight, they will grow to know you, to love you, to serve you. They will grow to know about that savage cult of Islam. And perhaps someday they will be our own missionary. Not to China, not to Saudi Arabia, but to the Muslims who live in Wisconsin. And may these young men and young ladies will be the missionary to lead the hundreds but the thousands of Muslims to Christ in their college years. Pray for your guidance to our life, Lord Jesus. Help us to be smart, to educate ourselves, to study and read, to equip ourselves, to be ready to answer. Not only to the Muslims, but all the lost world. We're about to leave this house, Lord Jesus, but from your loving face and wonderful grace, may we never leave. It's in Christ's holy name alone we pray. Amen.